This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Elizabeth Talbert from Jesus 101 joins us to share a morning devotional. We'll have a dedicated prayer session, music from Mary Lou Inks,
and a special segment from The Incredible Journey on foods that harm your brain. Don't go anywhere. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with Hope. You know, we're excited to be waking up with you. Tell us, how did you wake up this morning? How has your week begun so far? Send us a message on our Wake Up with Hope Facebook page and let us know how Wake Up with Hope has impacted your life. We want to hear from you.
We sure do, friends. And on this wonderful Tuesday morning, we pray our program will be a blessing to you.
You know, today is International Patient Safety Day. You know, unfortunately, in today's world, many of us or our loved ones are bound to end up needing medical attention at some point in our lives. Well, International Patient Safety Day aims to encourage us to work together to ensure the safe delivery of healthcare.
In times of urgent medical care, it can be scary to leave our lives and the outcome of medical procedures in the life of another human being. But how comforting it is to know that we can leave ourselves in the hands of God.
That's because God is the ultimate and the great physician. We can be sure that we can place our lives in His hands and not have to worry about being safe. He can bring healing, all sorts of healing, in the most gentle way, and in a way that ultimately seeks our best good. So friends, trust Him today with your life. We love sharing the hope we have in Jesus with you. So let's begin this morning by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1787, the United States Constitution was signed at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention. 38 of the 41 delegates present at the convention in Philadelphia signed the document. The Constitution was essentially a replacement of the Articles of Confederation that had been ratified in 1781. The Union was on the verge of being divided if the Articles were not replaced, as it was evident that they were greatly limited by the power of Congress. The United States Constitution is still in operation today and is the oldest written constitution still in operation in the whole world. As you may know, the Constitution is what drives our laws here in the United States. It sets limitations for the people of the country as well as for the government. Every country, every government ought to have a law or a document that sets limitations, as this is what keeps order and offers a level of protection to the residents of said country.
You know, God's government is no different. God also has a law, the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments are also known as the moral law. Its purpose is to show us right from wrong. You know, in the Ten Commandments, we find things such as thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, God has set a law in place to provide boundaries for us so that as we carry our lives, it will be done so in the very best way. Now, of course, we see immorality all around us. Crime is rampant throughout the world. But God has a solution, and it's found in the Ten Commandments. If we adopted the Ten Commandments as the guide for our life, we would live in a much different world.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
Amen.
And what a difference we would see. And though we may never fully see that here on earth, we can be sure that if we choose to make His law the rule for our own life, we will be ready to live in the kingdom of God when Jesus comes again.
Mm. Praise the Lord. Well, have you ever wondered how what you eat affects your brain? We have an exclusive segment from The Incredible Journey this morning on foods to avoid for optimal brain health.
There's a lot of discussion today about the food we eat. There's foods that are good for us and benefit our bodies and brains, but there are also foods that are harmful and that we would be wise to avoid. So let's have a talk to Dr. Delia McCabe, a nutritional neuroscientist. She's done a lot of research into how the foods we eat impact our brain. Welcome, Delia. So are there really foods that harm our brains?
Absolutely. Refined foods full of damaged fats, full of refined sugar, full of too much salt, and full of additives and flavorants. All of those compounds damage the brain directly.
So these are highly processed foods?
Yes, they're factory foods. They come out of factories, they benefit the manufacturer, they do not benefit the health of our body or our brain at all.
So these are good superfoods for the brain, natural foods, plant-based foods, and the foods that harm us are the highly processed, highly refined foods that come in cardboard boxes and bags and crinkly paper and so forth.
You probably get more nutrients out of the cardboard than what's actually in the box. So those are to be avoided at all costs.
Please give us some examples of these toxic foods that harm our brains.
When you go to the center of any supermarket, Gary, you find highly colorful packets full of things like crisps, lollies, very, very flavorful with additives and preservatives, all to titillate our taste buds and make it seem like the food tastes better than it does. All of those compounds damage not just the body, but the very delicate and sensitive brain. We know that they affect how neurons develop and how neurons grow. So we want to avoid them at all costs. They're truly toxic to all of our cells.
So we're talking about soft drinks, fast foods, highly processed cereals.
Even worse, so-called healthy granola bars, full of sugar and damaged fat. Then we've got the so-called healthy drinks, full of refined sugar. And even the ones that don't have any sugar have got artificial sugar in them. So we're just adding insult to injury with all these toxins and all these so-called foods that aren't actually foods. They're just palatable compounds.
So Delia, we've got a choice to make. On the one hand, we've got all these fabulous superfoods, natural plant-based foods, or we've got these highly refined, highly processed, unnutritious foods competing for our attention, for our money, for our choice.
The challenge is, Gary, that when children start eating this food when they're really young, the highly refined foods, their taste buds want that kind of food. They need to be taught to like this beautiful, healthy food, because it's not full of the crackle and the crunch and the highly refined sugars that give their taste buds that immediate boost. So we as parents really have to be responsible, and as adults we have to make the right decision, because ultimately we end up being sick and pathetic because we're not eating the foods that nature provides.
And what I really love about this is these foods, these superfoods, are the foods that God originally gave us. We are designed to be fueled by these natural plant-based superfoods.
If people just remember, as close to nature as possible is best for us. Avoid factory food, avoid the middle of the supermarket, avoid any packet that is crinkly and brightly colored. All toxic, not what our cells need.
Thanks for sharing this important information with us, Delia. This is information that can change our lives.
Well, we have to take a short break now, but when we return, we will have the Let's Pray team with us for a special prayer session.
And if you're enjoying our program, share us with a friend and visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more great content.
And look for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us. Wake Up with Hope will be right back.
Welcome back. You know, we hope your life is filled with thoughts of thankfulness and gratitude.
And prayer is the way we connect with God. And this morning, the Let's Pray team is with us for prayer. Thank you so much for your ministry of prayer and for helping us to stay encouraged and motivated to pray.
Hello again. It's that time. Family, my name is Season. I am the host for Hope Channel's Let's Pray. And I'm excited that I have a chance to pray with you today. We're going to talk about forgiveness. Everybody, it's okay. Take a deep breath. For some of us, forgiveness is like water, just refreshing. And sometimes it is a really difficult topic. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask Jesus to be with us during this time. But I want you to know that it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And when we say confess your sins, sometimes these words these days have a negative connotation to them. To me, I see it as unburden yourself. His shoulders are big enough. Unburden yourself. Tell him you're angry. Tell him you're having a hard time forgiving. Tell him that you need forgiveness. However it is, whatever direction that forgiveness need is flowing, whether outward or inward, unburden yourself today. He's not ashamed of you. He's not angry at you. He might call you higher. Yeah. He might challenge us right in the middle of all of our stuff, but he is our advocate. He's for us, family. Remember that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that you're our King, but you're also our friend and you're our advocate. The Word of God says so. Therefore, I believe it. It is fact. It's not some high and lofty idea. You're literally advocating for me and for this entire community right this very minute. So, Heavenly Father, thank you. To put it in kind of a colloquial phrase, Jesus, you've got my back. Jesus, I know that you're covering us. And when it comes to forgiveness, Jesus, there is a lot that can be said. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would shine your loving light on our hearts and show us, Heavenly Father, if we are walking in unforgiveness somewhere. If we have indeed allowed a bitter root to rise up among us, and that bitterness pouring out defiles people, hurts, tears down the things around us and inside of us, Heavenly Father. Lord, whether it has been done to us or whether we have done it, whether it's with you or with another person around, Heavenly Father, forgive us, Lord. Search us, Heavenly Father. Search us, Father. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Jesus. Even if it's not some large sinful practice that's more obvious to others, maybe it's something that's inside. Maybe it's just a little critical attitude in our hearts. Maybe we're withholding our approval and our affection from ourselves, from you, Jesus, or from others around us. Heavenly Father, whether it is full-blown addiction or whether we're just addicted to gossiping, I don't know the circumstances for every person here, and I don't need to. I know what your word tells me, Jesus, that if I'll forgive, if I'll tell you about all my stuff, Father, and I ask for your forgiveness, you will give it. It doesn't mean that the things that have happened to me are okay, that you're okay with them because you're not sometimes. Father, the things that happen to us, you see. Vengeance is yours. You will repay, says the Word of God. But Father, you do tell us to forgive, to confess our own sins, confess where we have not forgiven others, Heavenly Father, so that we can be free. It doesn't say that it's okay. It says that I'm okay in Christ. It's not about feelings, although there's a lot of feelings involved, Jesus. But it's about your word and your truth and your love and your advocacy for us, Jesus. You went through so much so that we could choose you, so that we could choose life. Father, help us to walk in your ways everlasting and choose forgiveness today. Lord, we thank you for your living water that is just washing over this community, Father, nourishing and cleansing the hard parts of our hearts, the wounds, the concerns. Father, help us to remember to confess, to say it, to unburden ourselves to you so that you can lift these burdens, Heavenly Father, so that we can ask for your forgiveness and we can also give it to others. We thank you, Father, for this mysterious and beautiful exchange that you provide for us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the resurrection life that it gives us. And we thank you, Father, for loving us even if we're not quite there yet. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. It's a big topic, family, and I know that maybe just our time together today does not just make it all go away, but it can be the beginning of a new journey with you and the Lord. Let's be honest. Let's let Him love us in those hard places, and let's receive His forgiveness. God bless you today. Bye.
Thank you so much, Season. What a blessing. And friends, remember to tune in this evening, Tuesday evening, to Let's Pray Live. Season would love to pray with you.
Amen. You know, music is like food for the soul. It encourages, inspires, and uplifts. Mary Lou Inks joins us now to turn our hearts towards God as she sings, Sing to the Lord. Amen. Well, friends, now we have to take a short break, but when we return, Elizabeth Talbot will be with us to share a message.
Welcome back, friends.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 is with us here today.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series on David's life after God's heart. We have entitled it. And today we start a new season in David's life. He will become king after all that has happened to him. And he will do great things as a king. Sometimes when we see people achieve great things, we wonder what happened before this, right? There is a lady that I admire very much. Her name is Candace Leitner. She started an organization that's called MADD, MAD, M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. But she started it after a terrible time of grief when her daughter was killed by a drunk driver that was a repeat offender. And sometimes you wonder, how do you go on and what can you achieve after a time of great distress and great grief? Well, today we are going to study that. David's own passionate journey with God, even after he went through all the suffering and the caves and the wilderness experiences. And so we're going to start today on 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel, the beginning, we have Saul that has died and his son Jonathan too. And David is made king over the southern part of Israel, over Judah, on chapter 2, 2 Samuel chapter 2. But on chapter 5, he's made king over the whole thing, the north and the south. And chapter 5, I'm going to read 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all of Israel and Judah, altogether 40 years. After all that hard time that he went through, the persecution, the oppression, the time in the enemy camp, the fire of Ziklag, all that we have studied. So now David is king over the whole promised land. Judah in the south, Israel in the north. He's a king over the whole area. But what is interesting about Jerusalem that I just mentioned is that it wasn't part of the geography that they owned at the time. And he decides that he's going to take over this town. Now, this town is where the Jebusites live. Verse 6. The king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, the people of the land said to David, "You shall not come in here. You shall not come in here. The blind and the lame will turn you away," saying it's going to be so simple to turn you away, thinking David cannot enter here. Why would they have such arrogance? Well, this town of the Jebusites that David wants to conquer as his own royal city to dwell in there, was in a fortress. It was a stronghold. It was a fortress, but it was in a geographical fortress, a big canyon that led up to the city. And the city was fortified about 12 acres around it. But, you know, I want to show you a little video, perhaps a photo of what this was a small town. Now we know this whole area as the section that is next to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, because the city of David is in the southeastern part of Jerusalem, southeast of the Temple Mount. And David really wanted that fortified city to be his own city. Now there's still excavations there of this old city of David. But the Jebusites were so sure, because of the geography the way it was, that David could never enter there. "You will not enter here," they said on verse 6. But then you go to the next verse, and it starts with a word that I love: "Nevertheless." "Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion," that is the city of David. And we're told in verse 9, David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the Millo and inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. I have to give credit where credit is due. The first time I came into contact with this notion of "nevertheless" in this time of David's life was in a book of Max Lucado. The book is called Facing Your Giants, and I highly recommend it. And he has a whole section on the "nevertheless." He says, he calls it the 12-letter masterpiece, "nevertheless." It's when your life seems like it's going one way and they're never going to make it. Nevertheless, God enters the scene and he changes. David had a whole "nevertheless" biography. You know, he was a shepherd. Nevertheless, Samuel went and anointed king, even though nobody else thought he could be king. He was a boy, and nevertheless, he fought Goliath, the great soldier, the giant. He was being persecuted by Saul. Nevertheless, God brought him through that time. His town of Ziklag was completely burned. Nevertheless, God said, "Go and get your families back." I mean, he has lived a "nevertheless" biography. And hard times sometimes prepare us for what's coming. Sometimes hard times, God allows hard times because they grow us in our character. Sometimes God allows hard times because we will become instruments in the area of our grief and pain, like Candy Leitner did, starting an incredible organization that changed policies and laws of drunk driving because she lost her daughter. So the "nevertheless" biographies are very important. And David had a nevertheless biography. And here they say, you will never conquer this city. Nevertheless, David conquered it. And then, of course, after that, it expanded. And then we had the temple. This is the whole land of Moriah. And eventually, if you go to Jerusalem right now, you can go visit the old city of David, the nevertheless city. If you continue reading in chapter 6, David decides to bring the Ark of the Lord there so that God's presence can be seen there, visualized, and he's having this exuberant worship as the Ark of the Lord comes into Jerusalem. Well, after hard times, God has a purpose for you, and that purpose will fulfill you even after great grief and suffering. You know, I think that the whole story of redemption of the whole humankind is a nevertheless story. You know, we are in this world of sin and death and pain. Nevertheless, Christ came, died for us so that we would have a better future. There's a beautiful verse at the end of the Bible in Revelation 21, where another Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that God is preparing for us, is described, Revelation 21, 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Yes, there's a nevertheless. Because of the cross, we have a nevertheless. See, the whole humankind sinned, and we would be doomed for eternity. Except that Jesus came and died for us to give us a nevertheless. We will be with him in heaven because of what he did. So I hope that today you're encouraged. If you're going through a suffering moment, a suffering season, a great distress, God wants to make a nevertheless biography out of you. So trust him. You will be fulfilled.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share hope with a friend or even watch some part of today's program again, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have beautiful music from Stephen Adetumbi. John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us. And Neil Schofield will take us on an artistic journey through a powerful love letter. Be sure to join us.
And remember to visit us at hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. Check it out.
You know, our program is almost over for today. But before we go, we want to leave with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 4.
It says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
You know, friend, have you ever imagined that taking a lowly position would grant you greatness? Yet this is exactly what God promises. As we come to him, like a little child turns to their parents, fully trusting, fully dependent on him, he promises that we will have the kingdom of heaven. You know, what a beautiful illustration. It's really an amazing promise, and we hope that you take it to heart.
Amen. Friends, we've had a lovely time with you today. Please walk with the Lord in all that you do.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today we are just so encouraged. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the instruction. And thank you for the hope that fills our hearts. May we walk with you today and not allow anything to take that hope away from us. Guard our hearts and keep us close to you today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.